FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Zidane! Oh, fantastic! Batistuta! Oh, what a fantastic hit! Henry will have to do it alone. Oh! And here's Raul! Oh! He's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká!
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Good afternoon. George Denikian standing in for Adriano Del Monte. And another morning of football action. Yesterday, of course, in Euros, we saw Manchester United come from behind to actually win. Basel beat Benfica to qualify for the knockout phase. PSG lost its perfect record in Europe, losing to Bayern 3-1. Chelsea missed the opportunity to go top of the group with a draw against Atletico Madrid, which meant, of course, Roma then got to hold the top spot. And this morning, the final four spots were sorted with key matches played. And some of the questions already that are emerging, and we'll try to answer for you as we get through this hour of football, of the Euro Show. Will Real Madrid score PSG in the knockout encounter? Real this morning beat Dortmund 3-2. And interestingly, Ronaldo did what he manages to do nearly every time he rolls out. He scored the winner in the 3-2 encounter and at the same time managed to achieve that wonderful record of scoring in every game of the group stages. And we saw more than 300 goals scored in these group stages, and that's the first time they've done that in quite some time. And that just suggests there's some fantastic and stunning firepower out there. And the other thing that stunned me today was that Manchester City suffered not only its first loss in Europe, but it actually suffered its first stumble in more than 28 contests. What happened? Shakhtar Donetsk beat them 2-1. The other question that is quickly emerging is how far will the attacking prowess of Liverpool take them in Europe this year? All of this, of course, being asked after they strolled past Spartak Moscow by 7-0. Anfield, the crowd at Anfield, those in the Kop were in raptures as we saw not one, not two, but 3 goals from Coutinho. And Sadio Mane showing the world just what a potent striker and predator he can be if he's given an opportunity and if he can stay fit. Let's take you through some of the scores. I mentioned some of the teams. Let's start from the top. Maribor and Sevilla played out a 1-1 draw. Feyenoord managed to get in front of Napoli to the tune of 2-1. As I just mentioned, Man City fell to Shakhtar Donetsk 2-1. Porto, with some very fine attacking play, beat Monaco, who just can't seem to, you know, restore that wonderful attacking unit it had last year. Porto 5, Monaco 2. The Red Bulls of Leipzig went down to Besiktas, who's, you've got to say, is in really good form. They won that match 2-1. Elsewhere, as I've already mentioned, Madrid got on top of Dortmund. And you've got to say, what a sorry campaign for Dortmund. Haven't managed to achieve a win. That is just, who would have said that before the competition started? And Spurs, well, they were marvellous. They actually not only played at Wembley, but they took the young side from Crete up well and gave them a bit of a football lesson by the tune of 3-0. But the game that everyone is still raving over was the game played at Anfield that I mentioned a moment ago, and it saw Liverpool put 7 past Spartak. Let's give you a sense of some of the action, some of the colour, and some of the sensational goals that were scored overnight. Have a listen to this.
Philippe Coutinho to give Liverpool a flying start here on a big night for the club, and he's done that. Precise and a perfect start for Jurgen Klopp's men. They're in again, Liverpool here. Is it one pass too many? No, it's not, because Coutinho has just passed it into the far corner. And he's got 2, Liverpool have got 2, and we've not yet had 15 minutes.
Well, at the moment, Spartak Moscow, 2 centre-backs, Boketti and Kaski just can't cope with the movement of Salah and Firmino. combination play.
Given away, and Mane's away. Salah's in the middle. The ball's for Firmino. And everything is falling for Liverpool at the moment. And Spartak are falling out of contention. 18 minutes gone. 3-0. Here's Coutinho. Maybe one of those moments early on with Milner crossing on the run. And Mane, it is one of those moments. It's a fantastic fourth goal for Liverpool. 2 minutes after the restart, Milner in on the act straight away. And Mane, who missed an easier chance towards the end of the first half, has absolutely buried this one.
Well, they're just some of the goals, all seven that were scored at Anfield. And what a morning it was for those fans of the Reds. It was quite incredible. We saw the attacking prowess and of all its key elements, Firmino, Mane, Salah, who's just been a breath of fresh air from the moment he was anointed and came to the club. People were wondering whether he'd be a bench warmer or whether he'd be a star player. Well, he's been more than that. He's been absolutely breathtaking. But of course, along with that Brazilian wonder kid, Coutinho, the young man that was being touted that would go to either Real or Barcelona at the beginning of the season, depending on which paper you were reading, well, he's back. And not only that, he was in his most creative mood and managed to create not only opportunities for others, but put three away himself. Jurgen Klinsmann's side only needed to draw to progress, but they pummeled Spartak Moscow to finish top of Group E, and thereby ensuring that English football will make up most of the representatives, or at least a third of the representatives, in the competition's last 16. And one of the guys who I dare say would be wearing the broadest of smiles, although for long portions of the game today, he kept himself in control, is the coach of Liverpool, Jurgen Klinsmann. Let's have a listen. Jurgen Klopp, once you say Jurgen for me, I always go to my champions, Jurgen Klinsmann. It's Jurgen Klopp, the man with the other K. He was, as they say, very, very happy.
Really, I don't feel that often, but tonight I'm proud because it was so difficult. It was we knew after the Sevilla game that we cost ourselves a final, so we could have done it already, but think what would have happened if the people wouldn't have seen this game tonight. So I said it before the game to the boys, we qualified for this final, so in the best way, and that's good. And so we have to see it as an opportunity. The boys obviously did it. The game development helped, of course, with the early goal. Was not good for the opponent, but was a pass exactly like we wanted to play it. Mo Salah, who played more central today, but came in this area, I think it was the fullback, the left, who had surprisingly to take more, came in, and then he ran more or less. It was more an accident, but it was a penalty, and it helped us, of course. 2-3-0, fantastic goals, all the goals, by the way, were fantastic. Half time, coming out, Millie makes a cross, and then Sadio Mane is there, makes a volley. It was so important for him, these two goals, two or three goals, Sadio, two, I think, yeah, for him, of course. So the only little shadow on his performance is Alberto Moreno. I hope it's not too serious. It would be really cool, that would be really not too good if we would lose him for a few weeks or so. But we have still hope that it's okay.
I told you he was happy. The only Wally there, by the way, was me calling him Jurgen Klinsmann. Jurgen Klopp. All right, let's move to our next game, and it was Napoli and Feyenoord. Feyenoord managing to claim the points with goals from Jorgensen and St. Just. The reply came from Zielinski from Napoli. Here are some of the action.
It's Koulibaly's free kick, which is very deep, and Mertens was in there! Say sticking with him, but it's Berghaus's cross, and the header is in from Jorgensen. And Napoli's qualification hopes for the round of 16 may be slipping. flicked on by Tapia, and headed in! Jeremiah Sanchez! And Feyenoord now have their first Champions League win this season in the final moments of the final game.
Yes, a strange result. Well done, Feyenoord, but Napoli wouldn't have wanted that. Still, Feyenoord 2, Napoli 1, and I'm reminded of the early years of the SBS many, many years ago now when we started screening some of the action from the Eredivisie, and we had games that featured Feyenoord on a regular occasion. Anyway, see what happens when you reminisce? It takes you way back. Now, let's not reminisce. Let's go forward and talk about one of the biggest upsets of the day, one of the biggest upsets of the tournament thus far. And I'm talking about Manchester City and Shakhtar Donetsk. They slumped to their first defeat of the season, City. Couldn't believe it. Shakhtar Donetsk, in their final Champions League Group F game, managed to put a couple in early in that first half. Goals from the Brazilian pairing of Bernard and Ismaili actually stunned Guardiola's side on what was a very, very cold night in Kharkiv. Sergio Aguero did score an injury time penalty, but it came way too late to affect the outcome. Now, the result, I suppose, matters little in the scheme of things. City, top place, of course, in the group was already assured. But the end, the way their winning streak was shut down, was not the sort of preparation you want to see before the next vital game for this side. And I'm talking about the Manchester derby between United and City, and that's coming up soon. But for Shakhtar, the win prompted, dare I say, jubilant celebrations. Place in the last 16, now secured. Their supporters, you can imagine, looking forward to seeing their coach Fonseca fulfill a promise to wear a Zorro mask to a press conference if they qualify. Pity we haven't got pictures. Pity, but we have got some of the action.
There's Marlos. Good running from him. Bernard missed his kick, and he might shoot now. He does shoot now. He scores a brilliant goal. That's magnificent from Bernard. A Brazilian beauty to put Shakhtar Donetsk in the box seat to claim second place in the group. Through to Ismaili. What a run from the fullback, and he's beaten Ederson. Ismaili makes it 2-0 Shakhtar Donetsk. No team has opened up Manchester City like this all season. Paulo Fonseca's side looking well set for the last 16 and a qualification for the Champions League group stage for the fifth time in their history. That's Aguero, here's Jesus, he's gone down, penalty City. Aguero never missing this one. And he rushes to the ball. It's a famous night for Shakhtar Donetsk. A really, really famous night. They came into it needing one more point.
Yes, a famous night and a famous opportunity to do something you've always wanted to do. Wear a Zorro mask. Can you imagine? Out of the night when the full moon is bright comes this horseman known as Zorro. No, it's Fonseca, the coach of Shakhtar Donetsk. That's what he promised his fans, and I'm sure that's what he delivered. Pity is we don't have pictures. We are, of course, the Euro Show on FNR, Football Nation Radio. And if you're wondering, no, it doesn't sound like Adriano Del Monte. It's George Danikian standing in for Adriano, who's taking a few days' break. Now, we're not going to take a break. In fact, let's take a break, and because when we come back, we're going to talk about Real Madrid and Borussia Dortmund.
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Zidane! Oh, fantastic! Batistuta! Oh, what a fantastic hit! Henry will have to do it alone. Oh! And here's Raul! Oh, he's not just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká!
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Yes, welcome. This is the Euro Show. George Danikian standing in for Adriano, who's away, taking a couple of days' break. But we're just going through some of the scores and some of the action and taking in some of the marvellous audio of a host of classic goals that were scored overnight in the Euro Championships. For Real, an important result, some would say, because they never like to lose. And it took three goals to get on top of Borussia Dortmund, and they can't seem to get a win these days. Borussia Dortmund's two goals came from Aubameyang in the 43rd minute and again in the 48th minute. But the opening goal was scored by Mayoral from Real, who scored in the 8th minute. And about 4 minutes later, the man himself, Cristiano Ronaldo, got that goal that he needed to allow him to be able to have the bragging rights and say to all and sundry, I've scored a goal in every round of the group stages. And the last goal, the one that proved to be the winner, was scored by Vasquez in the 81st minute. So a final score, Real 3, Borussia Dortmund 2. Take in some of the action.
Now Cristiano Ronaldo again looking to fire in the shot. Great start. Woes continue. Here's Kovacic. Now Ronaldo! There's the record. First man to ever score in all six Champions League group stage games. And what a way to do it. They stood and watched, and Schmelzer plays it in! Dortmund have a goal back! Who else but Aubameyang? Forward by Nuri Sahin, through to Aubameyang. He's onside! He makes it 2-2! They were looking for a flag, but none there, and Dortmund have fought back from 2-0 down! Schmelzer won it, punch from Berkey, and then hit hard and low and in! Lucas Vasquez! Finally! Real make their pressure count! Chance after chance, and now they take one!
They certainly did that. This is the Euro Show on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your new voice of football in Australia. George Danikian standing in for Adriano. Now, let's go to Wembley, where the action was basically with the home team, Tottenham Hotspur, that desperately needed to get back into winning ways. After the last half a dozen matches in the Premier League, it's been seriously struggling. I think its last game was a 1-0 win over Crystal Palace, and they just scraped through that. What Maurizio Pochettino needed today was some players who could help him, get on the scoreboard outside that trio of Harry Kane, Dele Alli and Christian Eriksen. They're the three who have been able to, basically score all the goals. But some of that energy is starting to sap, and clearly they've been affected by it. Against Upwell, though, the boys from Crete, Kane and Eriksen were given the night off, along with four other regulars, meaning that the fringe players were the ones who had to stand up and show that they deserved a bit more playing time. And guess what? Pochettino was rewarded. Fernando Llorente scored his first goal for Tottenham, as did the young Frenchman who came to the club at the beginning of the season with high hopes, but he's been basically forgotten. I'm talking about Georges-Kevin Nkudu. Heung-min Song scored the other. There were positive signs that the players can be of use, especially as winter in Britain starts to bite. But the important thing was that they got a win, and they did it with the normal players who do the scoring, out taking a deserved break. Here's some of the action from Wembley. Apoel from Crete taking on Tottenham Hotspur.
What a great ball to Aurier.
Great cross, Llorente, 1-0. What a beautifully constructed goal by Tottenham. Superb. Sissoko into Son. Son again, brilliant. 2-0 to Spurs. Kudu, and eventually in. 3-0 to Spurs. Big moment for George, Kevin and Kudu.
It was for the young Frenchman. He's been on the fringes and he's been struggling to get any sort of time. But let's hear from the I won't say content, but much happier Maurizio Pochettino, the coach of Tottenham Hotspur, right after the game.
No, I think it's the team deserve massive prize after to finish in the way that we finished. It was a so difficult group when was the draw, Real Madrid, Dortmund and of course Apoel, and finish on the top, only one draw and five victory. I think it's massive. It's massive. Massive achievement, massive improvement. Of course, and now we need to be focused on the Premier League, but I think it's a great experience for the whole team.
Llorente with a goal and an assist, and Kudu as well scoring a goal. How important is that coming into your Premier League challenge now?
So important, because the competition makes us more stronger, and to have players that push from behind and all will be in a very good competition from the future and from the next few games, because we are going to have a very busy period, and it's also important to have all the squad with this belief and confidence, and of course trying to give their best to try to play for and fight for one place and be regular on the starting 11, no, every week.
Yes, Tottenham Hotspur coach Maurizio Pochettino, the Argentinian, very pleased to see some of his fringe players step up. Elsewhere in the action this morning from Euro, we saw Porto put 5 past Monaco. Aboubakar scored twice in the 9th minute. He opened the scoring, in fact, and again on the 33-minute mark. Then Brahimi scored at the 45-minute mark. Telles at 65 minutes. And Tiquinho Suarez scored in the 88th. The two goal scorers for Monaco were Camille Glick and Falcao. The score is again 5-2. Here's some of the action.
Here comes that Porto free kick towards Moussa Marega, back in there, here towards Aboubakar! What a start here for Porto! And Vincent Aboubakar, who scored twice in Monaco, back on match day 2, is once again here to torment the French club. Arriving here, Danilo in to find Vincent Aboubakar. Aboubakar once more. Vincent Aboubakar. Another double against Monaco. And that should be the goal now, which guarantees Porto's progress. Ahead Carrillo. Yellow card as well coming here as Gazal and Felipe Square up. All rather heated here. Three has been pulled to one side as well, which is not good to see at all. It's a red card to both players. Gazal and Felipe sent off here by referee Jonas Eriksson. Aboubakar. Here is Brahimi for number 3. Aboubakar, what a half. 2 goals scored, 1 goal made for Yassine Brahimi. Ronny Lopez. Congolo's cross. That's a penalty, handball. Ivan Marcano, the guilty party. Referee says the arm was used. It is a Monaco penalty kick. It's Kamil Glick. Went for power, went for sheer brute force. And that pays off. Monaco back to 3-1 down. It's Marega. It's Brahimi. And now Danilo's pass involves Alex Telles. An outstanding goal. Alex Telles for number 4 for Porto tonight. Ronny Lopez goes on. Deflection in might favour Keita Balde. It does. The cross for Falcao. Back at Porto with a goal. Radamel Falcao. No great celebration given the game's situation. And given he's back at a club where he was adored by the fans here. Well, Porto are through, and in some style here. They have blown away Leonardo Jardim's French champions Monaco with a display of awesome attacking firepower.
Yes, so the French champions Monaco, as you can see, have had a miserable campaign, as have the boys from the Bundesliga, Borussia Dortmund. So Porto 5 beating Monaco 2. Now, the last game we're going to preview at the moment, or not to preview, but give you a chance to catch up with the audio from BN Sports, who've provided all the audio for us today, was the game played at the home ground of the Red Bulls of Leipzig. They took on Besiktas, one of the sides that's really playing some marvellous football. And two goals from Besiktas by Negredo and Talisca, one in the opening 10 minutes and the last one, the second one, at about the 90-minute mark. And it was offset by a goal 3 minutes from the end by Naby Keita, the boy that will be going to Liverpool next year. So Leipzig wanted so much more, but Besiktas proved too strong.
And goes down in the area and wins a penalty. And Gulashi is beaten. It's a hammer blow early on for Leipzig. And it's a red card for El Sanker, his second yellow of the night. This goes from bad to worse. Keita goes through, and Keita scores. Well, they deserve that, Leipzig. And finally, they find a way past Tolga Zengin. See now with a cut back to Liska. It's 2-1 Besiktas. There won't be time for the corner to be taken as the referee blows the full-time whistle. Well, Leipzig had to better Porto's score tonight, but they were beaten by a Besiktas side who end with 14 points from the group stage.
That's a pretty impressive effort, 14 points from the group stage. Besiktas over the Red Bulls of Leipzig. We're going to take a break. This is the Euro Show on FNR, Football Nation Radio, with George Danekian. When we come back, we'll have another one of our regular contributors, and his name is Ozan Gunce. Looking forward to that.
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Actually, it's George Danekian standing in on the Euro Show. And joining me on the line is Ozan Gunce. How are you, my friend?
Hello, George. Good, how are you?
Not too bad. Did you survive the morning hours watching the football?
Oh, as always, yes. We must be used to it by now, surely, as down under residents.
Mate, can I just tell you, I was in Rome in 1990 for the World Cup and saw all those goals scored by Toto Schillaci. And he had set up, if there'd been social media back in 1990, it would have been, forget about viral, would have been a tidal wave. And speaking of Rome, can I just run something past you, Ozan? You know they say that wonderful saying, Rome wasn't built in a day? Yeah. Well,
yes.
Roma has achieved so much in a single day. Get a load of this. Hours after gaining approval to build their long-delayed new stadium, Roma has gone out and won their Champions League group for the first time in nearly a decade. And to make things even sweeter, this is the same Roma that was expected to struggle to reach the knockout stages. And what they've done, they qualified for the last 16 ahead of the Premier League champions Chelsea and Atletico Madrid, a semi-finalist or a finalist in three of the past four seasons. So life at the moment in Rome must be very sweet indeed.
Absolutely. I think they're starting to sort of claw their way back into those sort of, it's sort of prior to my times here in the world, but I think in the 80s, I believe, they were once one of the greats, and they've been on and off. I mean, they've been in the limelight at times in the last two or three decades, but Champions League round of 16 spot, that's something that no European club will refuse.
Ozan, I can assure you that the stuff that you've read about in the 1980s, it did happen. They were very, very special.
Well, there you go. There's the clarification I was sorting after.
All right, let's. Should we preview some of the Europa League fixtures coming up?
Yes, let's.
Okay, so do we start with Atalanta-Lyon?
Yeah, Atalanta, they had an impressive, some impressive victories in their group prior to this fixture. Already, I believe, there is Everton in that group as well, who are pretty much out. And that sort of opens up a new discussion about how English clubs go in the Europa League. But Atalanta looking pretty strong there, and they're at home.
Okay, should we go to Real Sociedad and Zenit? This is for the top spot in Group L.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great clash. Two teams going after that first spot, which does place a slight advantage. I believe if you do finish second, you'll be facing the third spot from Champions League. So, you'd want to probably avoid that route if possible.
So are you telling me that there are sides out there that actually plan their way through whether they should win or lose, depending on the number of points they might accumulate and who they might face next?
Well, I'm sure some sort of calculation or thought process is behind it. I don't think that it would go to the extent of the coaches and players in the change room thinking, let's try and draw this instead of winning. I think every team will go out to win. But, I mean, look at if we go back to the Champions League, some of the teams who have finished second in their groups, I feel sorry for the likes of Besiktas, who've done so well in their group, and now they're possibly going to verse Real Madrid in the round.
The other word is that the talk that we touched on earlier is there's this growing feeling that, wait for it, Real Madrid could play Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, and that will be an absolute blockbuster if they do. We also got to remember that if all of the expected teams, at least, if they proceed and not clash in the round of 16, it's going to be one hell of a quarterfinals.
I can imagine, but it actually plays into what you were suggesting, that it's so important that you finish top. But by golly, sometimes you get penalised because there are other sides out there manoeuvring and thinking it's better not to be in that position.
Yeah, it almost makes you think: do some teams come second on purpose so they can verse some teams who could possibly cause an upset? But that's just way too many calculations for my liking. So yeah, it does sort of have its reverse effect at times. We must also applaud Basel of Switzerland as well. They've
been
mighty.
They've been terrific. Yeah.
I can't say the same things about. I think when it was when Shaqiri was still there before moving to Stoke, they did have a round of 16 appearance where they versed Bayern and absolutely got whitewashed. So hopefully, for their sake anyway, they won't have a similar experience in the knockout phase, but looking very, very strong there. I can't say the same things about... I would have included Feyenoord in this list, but luckily they got a win eventually. But Benfica with no points at all, and to see such a giant, or once giant perhaps, of European football to conclude their European campaign in such a way is definitely disappointing.
Should we talk about the teams that you think might progress based on not only current form but the ability of the squads that they possess?
Absolutely.
So let's have a look at what we think might make an impact and finish strongly in the UCL.
Sure. Well, I think regardless of how the Spurs are doing in the domestic league, I think they're looking pretty good for the Champions League knockout stage, providing that they get a slightly favourable draw. 16 points in their group ahead of Real Madrid seems to suggest that they are there for business. And I think since Gareth Bale was around in those famous Inter Milan matches where he shined so much, I think Tottenham will finally have another bite at the cherry, so to speak, with their sort of starring in Champions League. As I've mentioned, Besiktas are looking very strong. They're playing very efficient, fluent football. It's not very easy to, at times, travel, especially away from home, against a team who has proven so much in the Bundesliga, such as Leipzig, and to actually come away with a win when you've mathematically have nothing to play for, whereas obviously Leipzig had an opportunity to try and steal second spot from FC Porto. So there are a couple of the teams to look out for. Obviously, Basel, we've mentioned, and the usual suspects such as Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, and maybe even Manchester United. They've been very sort of clean and tidy, I guess, would be the way to summarise their campaign. Yep. They haven't necessarily displayed attractive or spectacular football, but they just got the results they needed and comfortably progressed. So that could also play a major role when they face perhaps a tough opponent in the later rounds.
We're seeing also, though, a more cagey Mourinho, aren't we?
Mm.
And I think he's playing those cards a little bit closer than he has been before.
Absolutely. And we saw that with his win over at Old Trafford against the Spurs with the shush suggestion.
Yes.
At the full time. I think it sort of agitates and only motivates coaches more where the press seem to be on the opposing side or the tabloids. And we spoke about the English tabloids, didn't we, the other day? So... And he is a fiery character, given his background in football and any success and not so successful times as well. That all sort of, I guess, is a conjunction of what he displays as a coach now. And he'll definitely be looking to, not just for Manchester United, and as selfish as this sounds, for his own sake, he'll look to want to be in that inner circle of the great coaches in European football once again in this competition.
Well, yes, after all, he does carry that special tag. That branding is called the special one. Ozan Gunce is our contributor on the line on FNR, George Danikian and Ozan discussing a host of things about the Euros and trying to get a sense of the fixtures that might make an impact. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some of the key weekend fixtures that Ozan is looking at, Borussia Mönchengladbach and Schalke, Dortmund and Bremen, Juve and Inter, and Napoli and Fiorentina. We'll discuss PSG. Will they ever win again? They've lost two in a row. They're taking on Lille and Nantes again against Nice. And then, of course, we'll get back to La Liga and look at Real Madrid and Sevilla and Villarreal taking on Barcelona. That will be interesting. Back with more and Ozan Gunce in just a moment. This is FNR, the Euro Show.
FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Just graceful, he's strong and determined. And look at the acceleration. It's a wonderful run from Kaká. It's a wonderful goal from Kaká.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
George Danikian standing in for Adriano Del Monte, and Ozan Gunce is on the line, and we're talking the Euro action and the Euro show. But Ozan, you've got to love the initiative of some of the production crew here at FNR. Josh put out a little poll a little while ago to ask basically the marketplace where do they think Liverpool will finish? How far will they go in the European Championships? And 40% have said... before I give you the answer, how far do you think they'll go, Ozan?
Well, I sort of hate to admit it with recent campaigns that I am a Liverpool fan myself. So I'm hoping at least quarterfinals.
All right. Now, so far in the poll, 40% have said they're going to get blown out next round.
Right.
And then the smaller percentage of about 32 or 33% have said they'll make the quarters. So there you go. The Reds, it's all about the defence, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and also scoring 7 goals at home.
Yeah, but that is a fantastic attacking unit. I mean, what we saw this morning was breathtaking. And when you see Sadio Mane, when you see Firmino, when you see Coutinho, then you add Salah. It really is. You talk about the Fabulous Four, the Fab Four. They're looking very, very special. And understand this, I'm a Tottenham Hotspur fan. So for me to be saying this makes me feel sick inside. But they look magnificent going forward.
No, absolutely. I think the only thing to watch out for themselves is just some of the injury-prone players in there. I think that would be the only obstacle in the way of Liverpool, because as you've said, when these players get together and start knocking the ball around in the final third, it's just like a jigsaw puzzle. It just fits in so well, and the way they orchestrate each other and combination plays and overlaps. I mean, there's no sort of number nine in the team just because they can all sort of fill that spot. I mean, at times you see Firmino out wide on the touchline, Salah playing as a target man, and Mane then sprints through and plays a wall pass with either names. So it's just whatever works right now for Liverpool, and it seems to be clicking really well. I suppose the only thing that shadowed this performance was the last fixture with the Sevilla experience, who they just seem to not be able to triumph over whenever they do verse them. But I think in general, yeah, they are looking good, and it seems to show domestically as well.
All right, let's go from the EPL to the Bundesliga and talk Borussia Mönchengladbach against Schalke and also Dortmund and Bremen. What are you thinking?
Well, Gladbach, quite impressive this season. They're pushing for a European spot in fourth currently with 24 points. Schalke just above them in third on 25. So that'll definitely be a cracking game to watch. My prediction, I'm leaning a bit more towards Gladbach due to the home ground advantage, but Schalke do play impressive away from home at times too. So that's going to be very close. And apologies, what was the other fixture?
Dortmund and Bremen.
Yes, Dortmund and Bremen.
Will they ever win? Will Dortmund ever win again?
It's not looking likely, is it, George? I mean, they are in the top six currently, but whether it's Europe or whether it's the Bundesliga, have they emphasised too much on youth, perhaps? Maybe that's the that's the problem that lies at the helm. I'm not entirely sure, but they just don't seem to have that sort of ticker that they used to with their Champions League campaigns when Götze was in form and you had Reus and you had Lewandowski, and they seem to be very far away from those sort of days.
They are. They're actually playing for Bayern. Serie A, Juve and Inter. What do you make of that?
My prediction is going to be probably a draw, as boring as that sounds. I think Juve at home are too strong, but Inter, they've been quite impressive this season. And Perisic, especially, I mean, he's obviously, you guys have mentioned that already, he's linked with a move to Old Trafford. And he sort of reminds me of the old Milos Krasic before he moved away from CSK Moscow. Just loves getting down that byline and scoring and assisting from out wide. He's a very unorthodox player, which can cause some problems maybe for the old lady there. So I'm thinking draw, but it could go either way. Very tough game.
All right, we're running out of time. Napoli, will they get back after losing to Feyenoord today and beat Fiorentina?
Yeah, I think they'll be too strong at home. There's too many stars up front, and Fiorentina, they're definitely far away from the race. So I'm thinking Napoli to win there.
Okay, Ligue 1, PSG and Lille.
PSG, well, after their performance today, not so sure, especially against Strasbourg on the weekend, which we spoke about. Lille, they've been very disappointing this season. Bielsa obviously linked also with the Socceroos role there. Bielsa very desperate, just like Strasbourg. So maybe another upset, but I think PSG maybe by one or two goals.
Okay, Nantes and Nice.
Yeah, Ranieri's men doing very well there, currently in fifth spot on 27 points. I think they'll be too strong at home against Balotelli and Schneider, who's hardly featured for them as well.
All right, almost at the end. La Liga, Real Madrid and Sevilla.
Very, very hard game. Both on 28 points, pushing for that top two spots. Real are used to drawing, so I think they're going to follow fashion. They're going to share the points.
And Villarreal and Barcelona, the last one we're going to talk about before we wrap it up.
Yeah, I think Barca will be too strong there. There won't be many goals, as it usually is at Villarreal's ground, but I think Barca by a single goal.
We've been talking to Ozan Güncer, giving us his insight about the not only the European matches, but the key games that are coming up in the various leagues, the Bundesliga, the Serie A, Ligue 1, and La Liga. You're a champion, Ozan. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been the Euro Show. George Danikian standing in for Adriano Del Monte, who promises me he'll be back next week. Bye for now.
The Euro Show with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.